are talking about Wisconsin's frozen pizza dominance here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It is notable. Get this. Wisconsin is the largest per capita pizza consumer in the U.S., and that's according to the product development director at Nestle's frozen pizzas division. What is your favorite Wisconsin-based frozen pizza brand? Why? Is it the crust, the quality of the ingredients, the name? What is your favorite type of frozen pizza? Give us a shout out, 800-642-1234. Daniel Higgins is the food and drink reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. His recent article is titled, Great Cheese and Big Appetites Make Wisconsin a Frozen Pizza Leader. Dan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me back.
So you like get to be paid to write long and go deep on pizza. What gives?
It's just the wonderful part of my job. I have great editors who let me kind of explore these kinds of topics. So
what piqued your interest in frozen pizza?
I was at Festival Foods, and I'm just looking at the pizza aisle, and there's this frozen pizza, Kingpin frozen pizza. It's got a little bowling pin on it. And I took a look at it. I'm like, well, that's kind of a kitschy little thing. And I realized that as I read the description a little bit closer, that this was actually from Ashwaubenon Bowling Alley.
Wait, you're reading the pizza box. You're reading the marketing copy on the pizza box. Just checking.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what, why? I'm trying to figure out why or where is this coming from? And I realized that this is the pizza recipe that they use up at the bowling alley in Ashwaubenon there. And it was made by Hansen Foods, who is, like, in essence, a contract pizza make. Part of their business is contract pizza making. If you've got a pizza recipe, you can bring it to them. They'll make, you know, give them the recipe, and they'll put it together and package it and everything for you to distribute. And I was just thinking, wow, we're in a state where a bowling alley has a frozen pizza in a freezer, you know, out in the market. And then I kind of looked up and down the aisle and realized the entire freezer case was nothing but frozen pizzas. And I just started to think, okay, is this, I don't want to say abnormal, but is this unusual to have this much frozen pizzas? And I started thinking, well, you will go into Woodman's and it's just frozen pizzas forever in there.
So and I can see you with your reporter's pad and you start taking inventory on all the pizzas you're seeing, right? And you're pulling each one out. And at some point, someone's going to come up to you and be like, what are you doing?
Well, fortunately, I didn't have quite that experience. But, yeah, I'm sure someone has been watching me closely. I'm sure they've been like, why is this guy looking at every single pizza as they go through and reading the label and putting it back?
Like, well,
yeah, absolutely.
So national brands like DiGiorno and Tombstone and Jack's are apparently all made here and are these local and regional favorites like the Bowling Alley Pizza. What do you think makes Wisconsin the frozen pizza leader?
There's a few things. First of all, I think we were just had some success with early adapters. I think, you know, we're not too far removed from pizza being an exotic food. I think that was like the 50s or so, 50s into the 60s. It wasn't like as ubiquitous as it is now. And I think, you know, Tombstone really hit on a recipe, had a lot of success with it. The Simic brothers did a great job of building that brand from in Medford to being a national brand. I mean, by the late 70s, they were already into 15 states with their frozen pizza. You know, you had Jack's over in the Little Chute area, too, kind of building the same reputation. So it was part of that reputation, but I also think, you know, when you're this close to really good mozzarella cheese from our dairy, cheesemakers, that certainly helps. That was something that came up several times with people I talked to. They talked about, you know, that mozzarella cheese and having that, and when that's a big part of pizzas, obviously.
Yeah, very smooth supply chain access when you've got your cows in the backyard. You got that cheese all right here. So
yeah.
apparently you talked to someone in the know at Nestle in the frozen pizzas division, and they said that we're the largest per capita pizza consumer in the U.S.?
Correct. That's what he said. In his working theory, and this is kind of fun, he thought maybe it's actually our Norwegian ancestry, because he said Norway just is like the only place out of the United States that has a higher per capita consumption of frozen pizzas than the United States. So he thinks maybe that it's something in our blood. Maybe we're just born to really love this stuff.
Someone needs to write a dissertation on this. I can just feel it. We're talking with Dan Higgins. He's food and drink reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's been writing about Wisconsin's frozen pizza dominance, and we're getting into the history with your thoughts on your favorite frozen pizza at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite type of frozen pizza? Are you a meat lover? Do you prefer veggies, veggie delight, a mixture of the two? Perhaps you're just plain cheese. What's a frozen pizza you've had that was good and would really surprise people to know it's good? We're at 800-642-1234. Give a shout out. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Dan, let's talk about Palermo's rise. Where are they based and how did they get their start?
They're down in the Milwaukee area. They actually started as a bakery and then turned into like a pizzeria, and then they had like a locally owned, you know, pizzeria. And one time, at one point, a grocery or a retailer kind of went to the owners and had them try this a French bread pizza, and he kind of said, "This is not good." And we can, and the retailer's like, "Well, that's the point. You guys could do this so much better." And so they ended up converting an old building into a factory and started making their frozen pizzas, and then kind of the same way, just started to build out. You know, it seems like a lot of these were bars. You know, the Tombstone started in bars. Palermo's got, you know, kind of built up in bars. And even now when I talk to Home Run Pizza in Appleton, he said, you know, they're in a lot of bars more so than the, you know, so I think that maybe that's part of it too.
Pizza just tastes better in bars? I don't know.
With beer.
With beer, right?
I mean, come on. And it's an easy thing. You can have just a little pizza oven. You don't need a whole big, you know, kitchen set up to make a frozen pizza in the bar setting.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
I'm sure that helps. So anyway, they just kind of built from there, and then they got innovative too. I mean, they're actually the first ones to hit the market with a rice and crust pizza.
That was back in 89.
Yeah. So that was even a few years before DiGiorno kind of hit the nationwide market with it. But yeah, they, you know, then they went to ultra thin crust, and they're always innovating. They've got several lines now. And I think they've got a good sense of how to meet the demands of the market. You know, I think some people now want, if you want pizzas with lower calories, you know, you can go with like a thinner crust, or if you're looking for one that's more clean label, well, they've got a line of pizzas that kind of meet that demand in the market. What people want from frozen pizza diversifies. You know, they've been able to really kind of provide pizzas to meet all those different demands.
Let's go to Nancy joining us from Superior. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, how are you folks?
Good. So what about your favorite frozen pizza?
Oh, I just have to tell you, I'm 50, so I have some experience behind me, and I'm from Wisconsin, so it's all about cheese. And let me tell you, the Home Run Pizza, just the cheese Home Run Pizza, is one of the best pizzas I have found to date.
Okay, so you're talking about Home Run Pizza and not Home Run In frozen pizza.
Uh-oh, I might have forgotten the inn.
Well, because Dan can distinguish here. Dan, go ahead.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Home Run Inn is actually, they're a Chicago, I mean, it's a very good frozen pizza. I'm not going to sit here. But they're actually a Chicago-based one, and there's Home Run Pizza, which is an Appleton one that kind of grew out of, like, this fundraising effort for a church and ended up building into, like, this frozen pizza, smaller. It's kind of more of a localized pizza company here in Appleton, but yes, definitely Home Run Inn does make some nice frozen pizzas.
Oh yeah, and it's Home Run Inn from Chicago. I've actually been in one of the stores, but the frozen pizzas are amazing, and thanks for that clarification. Yeah, just a fantastic frozen pizza at home.
Nancy, what do you love about it? Is it just because it comes out right each time, or you know, what does it do for you?
Oh, it's the crust. You know, it's a real challenge to find a frozen pizza that has a crust that's not going to be like cardboard, but that has some flavor and personality, as well as a good sauce and just the right amount of cheese. The sauce is key to any pizza.
Well, Nancy, thank you so much for that. Dan, you know, there is a lot riding on that crust. So, and do you see a lot of variety out there with frozen pizzas as how they approach crust?
Yeah, I think so. And it's funny you mention that, because I think TNT Crust had commented on our Facebook page about that we didn't talk too much about the crust in the story. I'm like, yeah, I did kind of, but maybe that's a whole other story.
I would say that's like the next crust. Chapter is crust.
The next chapter is that let's talk about the crust and let's talk about the meats too. I think that got mentioned a couple times, but yeah, yes, there is. I think even within, you know, when I was talking to Nestle about, you know, the difference between, you know, the Jax versus Tombstone versus DiGiorno, and in that's part of it. You know, Jax has got a much thinner crust, Tombstone's a little bit breadier, and then DiGiorno obviously has those rising type crust or berries or deep dish or whatever. So yeah, there's definitely some more variety in the crust than maybe sometimes people really realize, and maybe there is a whole story there.
We're talking about how Wisconsin dominates the frozen pizza world. Lots of variety in the freezer cases at the grocery store. Dan Higgins sorting it out for us, telling the history, the backstory on frozen pizza. He's food and drink reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. What's a frozen pizza you've had that was so good and you would really surprise people to know it's good? Was it gluten-free? Was it cheeseless? Perhaps the crust made from cauliflower? We're at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. Serious stuff here. Wisconsin is a leader in the frozen pizza market segment. We're talking about our rise to dominance and the stories behind frozen pizza brands on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. DiGiorno, owned by Nestle, was the top-ranked frozen pizza brand of the U.S. in 2017 with about $1 billion in sales. What's your favorite Wisconsin-based frozen pizza brand, and why is it? Is it the crust? Is it the cheese, the quality of the ingredients, perhaps the name? You can join in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Dan Higgins is the food and drink reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin, and he's done rigorous reporting on this topic for the team, and perhaps there will be a new chapter in Wisconsin's frozen pizza history. Let's go to the phones now with Shauna joining us from Friendship. Hi, Shauna.
Good morning. You're making me hungry.
Likewise here. So what is your favorite pizza?
Well, we actually prefer two, Culinary Circle. It's got like a corn-dusted crust, and it's really thick, so it can fill two or three people, just one pizza. And we prefer lots of matzo over that because of the lots of matzo, of course. The more cheese, the better. However, we go by the price point, so whatever they have on sales for the people putting out their new pizzas, especially local pizzas, getting them on sale quite often and get people to try them. Once in a while, we'll still buy them full price because we're craving them, but that's what we drive for.
All right. Well, Shauna, thank you so much. Dan, what do we know about Culinary Circle and Lots of Matzo?
Lots of Matzo, I'm trying to think.
Is that Wisconsin or is that not Wisconsin? You need to go back to the freezer case and get read some.
Don't think the other one, the first one, I'm thinking might be a localized one. I don't remember seeing that one out, and then at least my area. And like I said, I think Lots of Matzo is.
So I have to ask you. I have to ask you, Dan. Do you buy pizza by price point, or do you just have to go with a certain brand?
It's usually price point because I got kids in the house. And when you got kids and you just need something to fill them up and they're not big, well, okay, my kids are almost completely grown out of the house, but through the years it's just usually been Jack's because those are the ones that would go on sale for the right point, and we're like, okay, or an Orv's. Just because, you know, you got kids and they're not, you know, sitting there distinguishing between between this ingredient or this topping. It's usually either pepperoni or cheese. But if I were going to buy something, it would probably be, I would probably gravitate towards, I've gotten, now that I've got to try some of these nicer pizzas that are really pushed the $10 range on a pizza, a frozen pizza, the quality is really quite good on these. I think a lot of these Wisconsin pizza makers do a nice job of making sure that it's decent quality and they're not just trying to jack up the price and try and get a high margin on things, you know. But I can see where people think, well, why would I spend, you know, $7, $8, $10 on a frozen pizza when I can just pop in a Little Caesars and it's done. I don't have to even cook it or anything or whatever. And I talked to quite a few of them about that, because that was our question I had too, as I started looking at the price of some of these. But you start to realize they were pretty big. I mean, a couple of those Pep's Draft House pizzas, you know, they're over 2 pounds.
Oh my goodness!
You know,
yeah.
So it can be quite filling, even though it's, you know, $10. It's, you know, definitely the kind of pizza that, you know, 3-4 people with, you know, average appetites, it's going to fill you up.
Well, let's go to Ben joining us from Little Shoe. Ben, hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
Let's hear it.
Well, I was I grew up in Little Chute, and I agree with Shauna. I think Brew Pub is an excellent pizza. Also made, they make the Lotsa Matsa. That's in Little Chute as well. But I was saying, I think Jack's Pizza is hard to beat for me. I grew up next to Jack's Pizza plant, so we smell them making it every day. And I think I'm hooked for life. I just can't get it out of my system.
Yep. That's for sure.
Oh my goodness, imagine growing up next to a pizza plant. I don't know, Ben. That's going to taint you for life. Ben, do you still eat pizza?
Sure do.
Okay.
Sure do, and we still live in Little Chute, so once in a while the wind is in the right direction and we get a whiff.
Well, I'm glad it's the wind of pizza and not other things. Let's go to Christina now in Greenfield. Christina, hi.
Hi. I was just calling because I just happen to know that the Lotsa Matsa is made by Brew Pub out of Eau Claire, and it's by far my favorite.
There you go. Thank you so much for helping me out there. I could not get to the internet to double check that one. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina. Well, Scott in Madison called in to ask, can you address the market for the take and bake pizza and how that's doing?
I didn't get in specifically to that, and it's kind of interesting too, because I think Jack's kind of started that way in the 60s, and then by the early 70s, they were over to completely frozen pizzas. So, no, I really didn't get into that. And that's a little bit of a different area, too. I mean, there's some competition there, too. I mean, not just Papa Murphy's, but there's also some smaller places, I think, out there that do kind of the fresh-made pizza where it's not frozen and you can take and bake it.
Can you tell us the backstory of Tombstone?
It started with the Simic brothers. One of them, Pep, his nickname, he was dancing and broke his leg, and they happened to own a bar up in Medford called the Tombstone Tap. It was named that because it was across the street from a cemetery. And while he had kind of this time, while he's laid up, he started thinking we should add some pizzas to our bar to make a little bit of extra money. And he tried, I don't know, 5 of them or so, didn't like any of them, said we can do something better, and they kind of came up with their own sauce recipe and everything else. Did very well at their bar, so they thought, well, maybe other bars would want to have pizzas like this. So they packed up their cars and drove around to, you know, different taverns sampling out the pizzas, and the tavern owners saw that, okay, I can make some extra money here, and that's just, and it just kind of kept
traveling pizza salesman.
Yep. Yep.
And then exactly. It was bought by Kraft, which then handed the reins over to Nestle. Did the pizza recipe change a lot as a result of going corporate?
I didn't get a chance to, Joe Simic has, and he died in 2013, or Pep Simic. But in an article I came across, he had kind of lamented how Kraft had changed the recipe at one point, and that's why he actually started making some is, and they're higher brand. It's supposedly, from what he said, it's the original Tombstone recipe. I obviously don't have access to everybody's recipes to be able to look and over time and be able to see it. So all we have there is kind of his word on.
Yeah, you just got to trust. You can't verify.
Right.
Well, let's talk before we go here, short on time, talk about how to properly bake a frozen pizza. What can you tell us?
The biggest thing, and this is what when I talk to Palermo's, and actually when I talk to people at Hanson Foods too, is read the instructions, follow the instructions on the pizza thing, and don't just kind of throw it in and whatever. So whatever the instructions say, follow those. Check your pizza, you know, maybe 10 minutes in. And everybody likes it different, too. Some people like it, the cheese just melty. Other people like it a little bit darker. But, you know, especially with some of these bigger pizzas, these heavier pizzas, like the Pep's Draft House type pizzas that are over 2 pounds, they need to go usually at a little bit lower temperature for a little bit longer. Otherwise, the edges will get done, and you'll still kind of have that soggy middle. So you need the lower temperature for a little bit longer time to get the heat evenly through the pizzas.
And you might have to make sure, too, that your oven is heats at the right temperature as well.
Right.
I mean, our oven runs hot, and so I really have to gauge for that as well.
Exactly, yeah. And you know your oven, and so, yeah, obviously, right, that makes a big difference, too.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Put a pizza in for me, please.
You bet.
Dan Higgins is food and drink reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. His recent article, it is titled Great Cheese and Big Appetites Make Wisconsin a Frozen Pizza Leader. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.